Be seated. Now here's something I want you to do real quick before we get started into the Word. I want you to look at your neighbor and just do this right here. Just go, you smell good. I know that was a little uncomfortable for some of you, but that we're talking about you smell good tonight. Praise God. I don't know where I come up with these titles, but you know, they always want one, so I give them something, okay? Go with me to the book of Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30, and let's look at verse 22. Exodus chapter 30, verse 22, says, "Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of kessa, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil." Now here, God's given directions of how to make the anointing oil that He's going to use to anoint things. As a matter of fact, let's just read on if you want me to, and that way it'll explain it. He says, "And thou shalt make it a holy anointing ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary." I'm back in 25. "And it shall be a holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot, and thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever touches them shall be holy, and thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office." Now, I just wanted to go ahead and read that because that's what's going on. God has instructed them to make an anointing oil, and that anointing oil, matter of fact, if you search it out, he told me, he said, "Don't you make anything like it for anything else. This is a holy, consecrated anointing oil that I want you to put all over my house." Remember, he's in the tabernacle now, but he said, "I want you to anoint everything in there." And then he said, "I also want you to anoint my ministers with it." Okay? So God's given them instructions, and notice it's got the sweet cinnamon. It's got the some of the other stuff there that it's, I believe that it was a wonderful smelling oil. And I think when you walked into that tabernacle, you could smell that anointing oil in that place. Okay? So I want you to just kind of bear that in mind, because you've got to understand we are now God's house. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You belong to God. See, you're already God's house. But also you've got to understand that you're God's ministers. Every one of us have been made priest unto God, right? So I'm trying to show you the relation between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Under the Old Testament, they had the tabernacle and you had certain priests. Aaron and his sons. But under the New Testament now, you and I are the tabernacle that God lives in. We're the house that God lives in. And we are the ministers. We are the priest unto God. You see. So what God did is took it from a material thing like a tabernacle that was physical, and he brought it into our bodies, which is physical, but now it's because of the Spirit that lives in us that's what makes us the house of God. And then he decided he would anoint us. Let me show that to you. Look here in 1 John chapter 2. I want to bring some things out as we go through here. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 27. It says this, "But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you." Notice that. The anointing that you've received abides in you. You see, there it was a physical oil. But now, because of the Holy Ghost coming to live on the inside of you, you have an anointing that's biting on the inside of you. Now, let's read on just a little bit more. The one that you have now, it's abiding on the inside of you. Now, let's read on. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it have taught you, you shall abide in Him. In other words, the anointing we have now is through and by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost speaks to us, teaches us, and shows us things. Come on, you have inside you the ability to know things just because God knows them. Understand that through and by the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that God knows all things, and the Holy Ghost knows everything that God knows, and He's on the inside of you. That's why when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying that perfect prayer, because the Holy Ghost knows the heart and the mind of God. He knows the situation when we don't even know it. And so there's that anointing there that we don't have to be taught by some man how to pray something or this thing. We have the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. And if we'll just allow Him to pray through us, then we'll pray the perfect prayer. Today, as all this stuff was going on, after we'd already spoke life and not death, after we'd already spoke healing, we then began to just fall over in and pray in the Holy Ghost. Because, see, you don't always know what caused the attack. You don't know if it's a sickness or a disease. Or if it's just an attack of the devil. Amen. And see, when you break over and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, now I'm praying out that perfect prayer for whatever that situation is. If it's healing, I'm praying it. If it's an attack of the enemy, I'm coming against it through and by allowing the Holy Ghost to pray through me. So you see, that anointing that we have abides in us. Okay? Now here's the thing. If that anointing smelt good in the tabernacle, that anointing smells good on you. Come on now. It's in you. And I believe that to God, we smell good. Amen. I'm going to show you some things here and show you that it is proof that you do smell good to God. But I just wanted you to see that you've been anointed, it says here. Now in 1 John chapter 2:20, it says this, but you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Now here's the thing about that. The word anointing in John 2:27 and the word unction in John 2:20 are the same Greek word charisma. Okay, just used in a different form. So it's the same word charisma, and the word charisma means an unguent or smearing. Okay, it means figuratively the special endowment of the Holy Spirit. You see, and so what God basically when you look at that unction, that anointing, what it means has God has rubbed in and smeared on and put all over you the Holy Ghost. So when God smells you, He smells the Holy Ghost. Isn't that good news? Come on. See, when God sees us, He sees the blood of Christ. He knows you personally, but He knows that you've been washed by the blood. You know, we have the Old Testament parallel to that is when the Passover came and God's passing over, the death angel's passing over, what He told them, He said, He told them to put the blood on the doorpost, and He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'll not harm you. The death angel will not hurt you. I believe when God sees the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our life, that's He knows that we've been anointed, that God has placed His sign on us, on the doorpost of our heart, if you just have that. Okay? So you've been anointed. You have an unction or you have an anointing that's on you. So you've got to realize that. And when you start understanding that, then it'll make us begin to think about how we're living our lives. See, you've got to understand something. When we walk in our righteousness, then we are that sweet smell of Christ, the Anointed One. See, the word Christ means the Anointed One in His anointing. And so when we're walking in our righteousness, when we're representing God, we smell like Christ because we're ambassadors of Christ. Come on now. Can I just say it like this? We are ambassadors of the anointing that's in us and on us. So anytime it talks about we have the mind of Christ, we have the mind of the anointed one and His anointing. And see, you have to understand that that's on you and in you. So how we live our lives and as we walk after God, that aroma is coming up everywhere. The devil knows you're anointed because he knows what the anointing smells like because he once smelled that way. He was once the anointed cherub. Now, let me show you something. I told you I'd show it to you over here. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 14. It says this. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Notice that. He always causes us to triumph in the anointing and the anointed one. You won't triumph if you're not anointed. Come on, I know that's not real popular, but if you're not anointed, then you're not going to triumph. Because God's the one causes you to triumph in Christ or the anointed one, okay? So he says, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Look at that. We are unto God a sweet savor of the anointing. In them that are saved, and in them that perish, look at that. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we Christ. Now, Paul, when he's writing here, gets a little wordy with that. So let me read that to you out of the New Living Testament, verses 16 and 17. Here's what he says in the New Living. It helps us understand it a little bit better. He says, to those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task as this? You see, we are a lot like many hucksters who preach for personal profit. We preach the Word of God with sincerity and with Christ's authority, knowing that God is watching us. What's he saying here? He's saying this, church, when we live our lives the way we're supposed to live, the anointing of God that's on our life convicts those that are lost and makes people that are saved happy. Amen. See, if you get around somebody and they say they're saved, man, praise God. You're my brother or you're my sister. But you get around somebody that's lost and you're talking about God and the goodness of God and what God's done in your life, they immediately recognize I don't have God in my life. I've not made preparations for heaven. I'm still on my way to hell. That death smell. Come on now. That's why a lot of times folks don't even want to hear you talk about God. That's why they're trying to get God out of our country and out of our schools and everywhere else, is because they don't want to hear the name Christ, because it means anointed one and his anointing. They don't want to hear the name. Oh, you can talk about God all you want to. They'll let you talk about God because if in their eyes there's all kinds of gods, right? There's a God for every religion. But when you start talking about Jesus Christ, now you're talking about the God of heaven. And the devil knows what God you're talking about because Jesus was there when he got kicked out. Come on now. And the devil don't like that. He don't like that word being put out here in his kingdom right now. And so he tries to shut it down. He tries to shut anything that's God or godly, he tries to shut it down. He wants to do like the Bible says. He wants to blind the eyes of those so that they won't get saved. Amen. See, so we have to understand that it's our job and our duty as anointed ones of God to go out into this world and make it smell better. Come on. We need to season the world with the anointing of God so that people that are saved can say, man, that smells good. And people that are lost to say, oh my, I'm lost. I need Jesus in my life. I don't want to go to hell. See, nobody wants to go to hell. But it's just that natural part of our humanness that this body wants to try to hold on to this world. But see, this world is going to perish. It's going to dissolve. It's going to go away. And the only thing that's going to be left is what's of God. Come on. Any sin, any darkness, all that's going to pass away. Jesus will prevail. Come on. There will be a new heaven. There will be a new earth. And we're going to be part of that whole kingdom again. So we need to make sure that we're ready. But until that happens, you and I need to maintain and keep this anointing going. We need to keep this savor going, this smell. We need to make sure that it's filling up the earth. Now, in order to do that, it's imperative that we maintain our relationship with God both personally and in public. Can I tell you something? If you don't keep a personal relationship going with the Lord, you won't have much of a relationship out in public with Him. Or you can put on a facade if you want to. You can act like you are, but most people see right through that. Come on now. You know, it's just like social media now is showing, that shows us people's hearts. See, you got real quiet. Yeah, it shows us people's hearts because you see the people get on there and the facade is, oh, I don't know what I'd do without Jesus. Their heart is, I'd like to get a hold of that SOB and do the, right? Come on, same people that are spewing out all this about God, the next thing you know, they're saying something about somebody or doing something or coming on there and, you know, you better stay out of my business and that. Come on. Just kind of shows you that people are idiots for putting their personal life on there anyway. You know, I mean, come on. If I'm sitting around the house rather than just put something on there so I can talk to somebody, I'll talk to myself. Because I feel like I'm pretty intelligent. Now, I hear you, somebody saying, well, that's a sign of insanity. Well, I'd rather talk to somebody that's insane that loves Jesus than talk to somebody I sure don't have a clue who he is. Right? Come on. So it's imperative, church, that we maintain this life personally. So when we get out there in the world, because I'm going to tell you something. People watch your lives. People watch your lives. And they know if you're a true child of God or not. And you just never know who you're going to meet in Walmart. Right? Hate to use the name, but you just never know who you're going to meet. And when you meet that person out there, you know, you know the common thing. Well, how you doing? Right? Well, some people are going to lay it on you. Well, I'll just tell you now, honey, I'm not doing very good. Right? Well, see, that's when the anointing ought to just spew out of you. And you ought to be able to right then say, well, let's take care of that right now. I know exactly what to do. Let's pray for you. Because the God I serve is a healer. And He'll heal you if you'll let Him. See, you've got to be that bold. He's already said yes to healing. Yeah, but they might not be. It don't matter whether they saved or not. If they allow you to pray for them, you, the anointed one, Jesus healed all kinds of people that weren't saved. He healed madmen. He healed drunkards. Come on. They weren't saved. Of course, you and I understand that, you know, but a lot of them weren't followers of God. But He still healed them all when they came. Do you understand that? If somebody's there and they'll let you pray for them, they're volunteering. They're saying yes to your prayer. Therefore, they're saying yes to the healing power of God or whatever it is that they need from God. And you're the instrument. You're the anointed one. Because there's an anointing on you. Now, if they know you're a heathen, live your life like they do, they're probably not going to ask you to pray or even let you. Right? Come on now. So it's imperative that we not just out putting on a show, but we've got it in us. Because remember Acts chapter 3? Such as I have, give I unto thee. You cannot give somebody something that you don't have. Come on now. If you're not maintaining that personal relationship so that anointing is flowing through you, when you get out there, ain't nothing going to happen. Let me give you some scriptures here. 1 Thessalonians says this, chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and that you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Notice that. He says, don't be afraid to help yourself, right? Don't be afraid to work. Don't be afraid to do things that you need to do. But he said, if you'll walk then out there worthily, he said, you won't lack anything. He's going to take care of you. Now, let me give you another one. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. He says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Notice that. You know, if you're cussing or ranting, come on now. You're standing in the line. I've been giving them praises here. And I'll just use their name again. You're standing in line at Walmart. They got one register open. The line's back plumb up into the women's clothing. You still need to make sure that you maintain your righteousness while you're in that line. Or just go ahead and self-check and get over it. Forget about it. You know, I don't like them either. But I'm just saying. You see, it's in those moments that, whether you realize it or not, people know you. And they watch how you act and how you react to things. And don't be surprised if somebody don't turn around to you and start saying stuff. And how you react to them matters. Come on, church. When somebody, you know, you anybody ever made a mistake while you was driving? I think we all have it sometime or another. And then some idiot goes by you because you made a mistake, or maybe you know, I've cut people off before, and some in a blind have a blind spot and start to move over lanes, you know, and hear the horn blow and scare the far out of you because ain't nobody in the right mind going to try to run over somebody, you know. When that person run on by, blowing their horn, flipping you the bird, right? Come on now, your flesh wants to flip it back. Come on now, even let go of the steering wheel and give them two. Right? Come on. Now, that's what your flesh wants to do. But see, if you just learn to walk in your righteousness and let righteousness prevail, you just wave at them and smile. Or, you know, or say, I'm sorry. Because, you know, it was an accident. That's why they're called accidents. But, you know, the person that passed you and did that act like they never done anything like that before in their life. And every one of us have it sometime or another. So you need to remember that next time somebody does that to you. Come on now. You don't fly off with that, you know. Come on. Pastor Ed. Pastor Ed has always been one of those people that she talks without saying a word. Okay? It's looks that she gives. And, of course, you know, I know all the looks now because I've got them all. You know, but still, you can read her a lot of times. And one of the things she'll do is what are they doing? The hands is up like that. You know, it's not that she means anything, but that's just automatic reaction for her. You know, and they can be looking at us and she'll still go like that right there. I'll say, what are you doing? Well, they shouldn't have. Put your hands down before you cause a fight. Right? Come on now. Because there's the idiots out there that you do that, they want to fight you. You know, she don't mean nothing by it. It's just she's got those actions, you know. Ever since she had Stephanie, she's got that action of something happens, you better be prepared. You could get clobbed at any time because if something happens while she's driving, poof. Because, you know, when we was raising Stephanie, the seatbelt thing wasn't a thing. You know, Stephanie was raised most of her life in a pickup truck, standing in the seat beside me while I was driving between me and Mama here, you know. And so when Pastorette would drive, I mean, you know, I even did it for a while, but she still does it. And the thing that really irritates me about her doing that, I don't know how I got onto this, but I'm talking about how we behave ourselves. The thing that really irritates me now is, you know, it's not just a poop. When she comes around with it, she comes like this, poop, and then she grabs. That's not too pleasant for somebody that's got hair on their chest. I'll say, let go of me. You know? But I mean, that's good. That's probably a good movement. But some of this other stuff that we do, we've got to be careful. Because you just never know, you know, about... I remember the story I told you a long time ago, I heard a long time ago about the priest that was praying. He was praying in his upper room, and he looked at... He said, the Lord spoke to him and said, do you have a problem with anger? No, Lord, I don't have a problem with anger. And he said, well, let's me and you take us a ride. He said, let's go to the library. And he said, the Lord knows I love to read. And he said, okay, Lord, let's go to the library. And so he's going to the library. And he gets up to the library, and right there's a parking spot right in front of the library. And he said, thank you, Lord, for this parking spot. And he said, when he pulled up, just before he got ready to pull into the spot, here comes somebody, just shot right into that spot right in front of him, took the parking spot. And he said, I was a wraith. He said, I was mad. You know, he said, I parked the car and throwed it in park and walked up to the window and started beating on the window. He said, that person rolled the window down a little bit and said, is there a problem, Father? He had left his collar on. And he said, no, ma'am, I'm sorry, you know. And he said, later he was praying up in his upper room again, and where he was up there. And he said, the Lord asked him, said, do you have a problem with lust? He said, yes, Lord, I've got a problem. Help me fix it. I don't think he wanted the Lord to give him an example again, okay? It's things that all of us are capable of, the getting mad and flying off, and you're in a hurry. Have you ever noticed when you're in a hurry that you always get behind slow people? I mean, not just slow people, okay? I'm talking about people driving 23 in a 55, right? And it's usually in a place where you can't pass, and so you want to hurry. I'm talking about us, our personal relationship with God and our public relationship too. We have to be careful and have a good report of them that are without, right? Let our speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Now, Jesus also said, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See another example of having that out there, walking in your righteousness so people see the goodness of God in you. Now, again, home and public. If you don't, I'm going to put this on me. If I don't smell good at home, I won't smell good in public. Right? Come on now. I mean, you know, if I'm at home and I'm getting ready to go out somewhere and I go, probably ought to put some deodorant. And I don't put on no deodorant. And I go out anywhere. You know what? I'm going to smell like that out there too. And if it's one of them hot, sweaty days, I may smell worse out there. See some of you looking at me funny. Yeah. I mean, you know, I know folks that don't use deodorant. What happens is they get nose blind. They don't smell themselves. I was with a person one time and I kept going. I was trying to be, you know, really inconspicuous because I didn't. If it was me, I didn't, you know. And I finally said, "Do I stink?" And they said, "Probably me. I forgot to put my deodorant on." So now I was embarrassed because I. But I smelled. You know what I'm saying? So we gotta. If we don't smell good at home, we're not going to smell good when we get out in public, right? The same thing with your anointing. If you're not anointed at home, if you don't have that smell of the anointing at home, you're not going to have that smell of anointing out in public. Amen. I know that's not real popular, but it happens. We had a dear old guy one time that was ran a piece of equipment. You know, when you worked in the mines. He's passed now, but when you work in the mines, a lot, you know, you'll run a piece of equipment, the same thing somebody else runs, you know, and you may, especially when you work like night and day shifts, or if you work around the clock like we did a lot of times. And the truth is that His motto was, there's no use taking a bath because I'm going to get dirty again tomorrow. And he would say that, you know, and they'd hinted, the other guys that would run his piece of equipment, they'd hinted, they'd put soap in the vehicle. I mean, you know, in the piece of equipment, and they'd put stuff in there. And they even talked to him, and that's what he said. He said, well, there ain't no use taking a bath tonight. I've got to get right back up and get out here in this and then again in the morning. You know, but the truth was, the whole machine stunk so bad that other people, when they get in there, they couldn't hardly stand to run the thing. You know, because it stunk up the whole area. Come on now. See, and that's a natural thing, but we got to be careful that we're not stinking up an area by some, maybe something that we're doing or something that's going on. And I'm going to give you some scripture here and show you something. But I just wanted to kind of bring that out again that, you know, if you don't smell good at home, you won't smell good in public. Go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I got to hurry. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 1 says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary. Remember when they made the anointing oil, he said, make it like the ointment of the apothecary, the anointing oil. You're anointed. Now, notice, so does a little folly him that's in reputation. People know you. They know your reputation. We post a lot of times. Pictures on Facebook. Maybe we do check-ins. Maybe we do different things that let people know we're Christians. And that gives you a reputation of a God follower, right? Christian. And so you've got this reputation now that you belong to God. But then it says a little folly will destroy that reputation and make you stink. In other words, when we allow ourselves to compromise, when we do things that, one of the translations says a little foolishness will ruin your reputation. We have to be careful that we don't do foolish things. We don't do things that's going to make us look bad to the people that are watching, because you and I may be the only Christ that somebody sees. And so we have to be careful of that. That means, you know, compromising on things, doing different things. People see that, and it really changes their opinion of you. Because they may be holding you in esteem. You know, they're a good, godly person. But then they see you do something that the world would do, and then all of a sudden they're realizing, you know, maybe they're not as godly. And don't get me wrong, we all make mistakes from time to time. But I'm talking about watching ourselves and being careful that we don't cause ourselves to stink. See, here's the thing. Flies are attracted to dead things. Isn't that right? So if something's dead in your life, or if it's not God, it is dead. Come on now. God is life, and anything dead is not of God. Right? And so we have to be careful. And see, here's the thing. The Bible calls, in different places, Satan, Beelzebub. Beelzebub literally means Lord or God of the flies. Think about that one for a minute. So what's happening here is, if we're not careful, this anointing we have in our life can be tainted because we're allowing the Lord of the flies into our life to cause us to mess up. So we have to walk carefully. We have to make sure that we're staying anointed. Our perfume that we're giving off is always a sweet smell and never something that smells dead. It's real easy for you to get dead if you're not careful. You can just let yourself go. You cannot stay active in prayer, not stay active in the Word, not stay active following after God, and you can get complacent in place. Come on now. We might as well admit, if we're not careful, we can do that. So we have to make sure that we're always keeping that anointing fresh. Right? Jesus talks about us being the salt of the earth, and he said, but if the salt loses its savor, it's not any good for anything to be but to be thrown out and trod under the foot of men. Anybody ever salted something with some salt that didn't have much flavor to it? You're not going to get much taste out of that. And that's what Jesus was saying. I want the world to smell you. I want the world to taste you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. See, so we've got to be careful that we're not allowing ourselves to get caught up in this. We're not allowing ourselves to stink and ruin our reputation. Because, again, I hate to say this, but there's people that are watching and they're just waiting for you to mess up. They followed Jesus around, many, many, for the miracles and signs and wonders, but there was also a lot of them that followed him around just waiting for him to slip up somewhere. Just for him to mess up, say something wrong that they could just catch him at. See, here's the thing. A lot of folks that do that, they're looking for you to make a mistake so they can justify the way they live and what they say and how they act. But if you stay on the right path, you stay on the godly path, you stay where you need to. Let me show you one other thing and then we'll close. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Brother Rick talked about it a little bit the other night, mentioned it, but I'll go ahead and I want to bring this out. Because we talked about, you know, how things stink if they're not of God. But the sacrifice to God, if you study out the Word of God, the food sacrifices, all the sacrifices that they did to God that He told them to do, it would always say it's a sweet-smelling savor of sacrifice to me. God was always saying that the sacrifices that the people made to Him, they smelt sweet. Even if you remember Cornelius, when he sacrificed to the Lord, he wasn't even saved. He was an Italian. But over there in the book of Acts, but he would still offer up prayers and alms to the Lord, and it came up before his nostrils. He came up before him. He smelt that, even though it wasn't from a person that was in the family yet. And therefore, he sent Peter down to him, got his whole house saved. Praise God. But look here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's saying here that we have to present ourselves to God, that sacrifice that's a sweet-smelling savor to God. And he says it's just our reasonable service, just to offer up our bodies to God, because it belongs to Him anyway. And then it goes on, of course, and we don't want to leave this out, but it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, that's how we get into this. That's how we keep from messing up, is by transforming the way we think by the Word of God. If we do that, then we'll stay on the right path. So I want to just close it by saying this. Don't allow the flies in your life to cause you to stink. Make sure that you stay with God. Make sure you stay on the right path. Make sure you keep that anointing fresh and flowing. Would you stand with me? Father God, we bless you and praise you and thank you tonight. Thank you, Father God, that you've made us to smell good. Thank you, Father God, Lord, that you've anointed us. And for you, Father God, it comes up as that sweet-smelling savor. Father, I thank that you'll help us, Lord, to always be mindful of who we are and that we are anointed, Father God. And wherever we go in this world, we're the smell of you to the world. And so, Father, help us to be the most perfect smell that we can be, that you'll get glory out of our lives. And we give you praise for that. And I just thank you now, Father God, Lord, for your perfect will being done through us and in us and in this church. And we give you praise for that. Now, Father, I pray right now, Lord God, your convicting spirit, Lord, upon those. I thank you for those that are coming in to be saved, those that are coming to be healed, those that are coming, Father, that you can be shown mighty through signs, wonders, and miracles. And we give you praise for that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.